Hello, everybody, and welcome to the EndoProducts.com Game of Thrones spoiler cast. Today, we're going to talk about Season 2, Episode 6, The Old Gods and the New. I'm your host, Dan Man. Joining today, as always, we have Shax.
Hello again.
So, yeah, what do you think of this episode, Shax?
I think this is an awesome episode. I really loved it. I dug it.
Yeah, it's probably one of the funnier episodes. I found it to be really funny, just at times.
What part did you find funny? The queen almost getting raped?
Well, it wasn't the queen that almost got raped. It was Sansa. But I mean, like when. Tyrion slaps Joffrey in the face again, which was awesome. Jon Snow and the wildling girl whose name escapes me were like getting down sleeping for the night, and then she just starts like wriggling her ass up against him.
At
Harrenhal, which I talked about before we started recording, when like the guy runs in and talks to Tywin's like, hey, Arya's like a traitor or something, because I have like a dart in the neck and just falls over dead as soon as he steps through the door.
Yeah.
I really fucking love this episode. It was really great.
Then we'll get into all of it.
Yeah. So I guess we'll start off in Winterfell, where some shit went down. Okay, so...
Yeah, dude.
Theon Greyjoy has taken Winterfell following his prior gambit at Torrhen Square. Declaring himself Prince and Lord of Winterfell, Theon convinces the current Lord, Bran Stark, to yield after promising not to harm the castle's inhabitants. However, when Sir Roderick is later captured outside of Winterfell and brought to Theon, the knight contentiously spits on him, forcing Theon to renege on his promise and personally execute Sir Roderick. Roderick to save face to his men. Meanwhile, the wildling servant, Osha, seduces Theon, offering herself in exchange for her freedom. Unbeknownst to Theon, Osha's seduction is a ruse to allow her and Hodor to spirit Bran and his brother Rickon safely out of Winterhold. We see the other Winterfell, which succeeds. So, yeah.
Yeah.
They.
Where do you want to start with all this?
Bran's dream came true.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of what I was talking about last episode, I think, about how he was predicting, you know, the river or something like that.
Yeah,
coming through.
Yeah, so like a great flood washed over the walls of Winterfell, and like Sir Roderick was dead in the waves or something.
Yeah.
You know, like I think what you were saying with it was you thought it was like waves actually coming over and going into like Torrhen Square or something, and
yeah, something like that. I remember, yeah. I was kind of misguided by what I thought he was saying about his dream.
Yeah, so like his dream was that Winterfell would be seized on all sides by a big wave, and Roderick could be dead among the waves, and it happened. And good lord, Theon is terrible at executing people.
He took like a good 3 or 4 chops. Yeah.
Yeah, and then he actually had to kick his head off. I mean, fuck, Ned cut a guy's head off in one swoop, just schnick done.
Yeah, well, Ned Stark did have a much bigger sword, also. So
it's not the size.
Yeah, give him that.
It's not the size of the sword; it's how you use it.
Yeah, I mean, I think it was supposed to, you know, show. This is his first execution, probably, possibly his first murder, or even kill for that matter. Well, no, because he was fighting with Robb Stark before, so probably, yeah, I'm sure it's not his first kill, but definitely his first execution.
And it was somebody that he grew up with, kind of. Like, that guy's been there forever.
Yeah,
I did like the look on his face, like, afterwards, where he just, like, we kind of started like stumbling around a bit. He was looking like he was having trouble finding his footing.
Yeah, I kind of felt like maybe I thought he was gonna vomit.
Yeah, so did I.
He did have this look it kind of seemed like that look that a person gets when they see blood sometimes. like me personally, like I'm not one to usually get woozy at the sight of blood or my own blood, but whenever I give blood, I can't watch the blood go into the little bag, because as soon as that happens, I start getting woozy and lightheaded and start feeling sick. So, yeah, it kind of seemed like he felt that way. Like, oh my god, like, oh my god, I just cut his head off. I'm going to puke. Look out. Oh god.
Yeah. Yeah, I kind of like in Winterfell a bit with the whole thing that happened with Osha and after she was trying to, like, get Bran and bust his face out. Because it actually was, like, really cool when. Like, she goes outside looking around, and the guard comes along and is like, Athena sent me for you, I'm here to make the rounds. He starts making out with him, and it just slits his throat.
Yeah, that it was kind of cool, but at the same time, while she was, like, grabbing at his knife, it seemed like she was having trouble grabbing the knife, and it's just like, how does he not know she's going for something right now? Just the way she was kind of, like, fighting, or it seemed like she was fighting to get the knife out.
Yeah. Well, he is following Theon, so he's probably not the smartest, he's probably not the sharpest knife in the drawer.
True.
yeah, this it was cool what happened at Winterfell.
Yeah, Theon, he's a backstabbing traitor, and I can't stand him now. I mean, I never really could stand him before, but I seen him as a Stark, and he right in Robb Stark's face told him that he would fight by his side, and then he just.
Yeah. And like, for a good chunk of the first season, I actually thought he was a Stark.
Well, so did I. In fact, after even watching it through the second time, the whole first season, and I did it, like, basically back-to-back on all the episodes, and I still thought he was one of them. I mean, because there's a point that even he, you know, like, when they find those pups.
Yeah, the direwolves.
Yeah, he was the one that found that little white one and gave it to Jon Snow and said, here, for the bastard or something. Like, basically, to me, solidifying that he was really part of the family. I had no idea that he wasn't.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, but hopefully he dies soon. Which, you know, knowing the show, it's more than likely.
It's possible. I mean, things have started ramping up a little bit, but nothing much. But yeah, I still believe that there's no really any character safe by season's end.
Yeah. I said, while all that was happening in Winterfell, in the Westerlands, Catelyn Stark is reunited with her son Robb at his camp. Robb meets again with the neutral field nurse Talisa, who he deduces is actually of nobility. Talisa declines to reveal her identity. Robb later learns that Catelyn's prior warnings of the Greyjoys have proved true. Theon has betrayed Robb and taken Winterfell. Robb moves to return to Winterfell to reclaim it, but Lord Roos Bolton, great name, urges council, suggesting that his bastard son may instead recapture Winterfell in his stead, and Robb will continue his campaign against the Lannisters. Robb agrees, but demands that Theon be captured alive so that he may understand his treachery before personally executing him.
Yeah, that was a great scene. I mean, like, both of those scenes with Robb Stark I really liked, with him and that chick.
Yeah, Talisa, the nurse.
Yeah, she's a little bit of a hottie when she got cleaned up there this episode.
Yeah, you know, when she's not covered in Lannister blood.
Yeah. Like, last time, I'm like, really, dude? That's when you're eyeball fucking? But then, seeing her in this one, I'm like, all right, yeah, all right. Get on that. Yeah, and then, like, yeah, I really, man, Robb, I didn't really care for Robb before. Like, I didn't have anything against him, but... It's interesting and intriguing how, like, people like Robb Stark or Theon, these characters have really stepped up outside of Sean Bean now being off the show.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really interesting to me, and I like that. I like Robb Stark being the man in charge now.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, yeah, that whole thing with, like, he's like, I'm going to go there. I'm going to do this. You know, how can I show that I'm king if I can't hold my own castle? And then when they talked him out of it, he was like, fine, but bring him to me. I want to talk to him before I cut his fucking head off.
Yeah, that was real great. Like, since Ned's dying, Rob's really stepped up.
Yeah.
And I kind of dig it. But I'm guessing it's only a matter of time before he dies. Like, I feel like we should just start, like, a pool of, like, the odds on someone dying in the show.
That, we could do that, yeah.
Yeah, but then anyone who's actually read the books would have a major major advantage, because I'm guessing the people who die in the books may die in the show, and probably more violently.
Quite possibly, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, if there's a way, if we could like get an honor system going with anyone that could be listening to this.
Yeah. Okay, so, on to Beyond the Wall. The Night Watch Ranger Expedition, led by Corrin Halfhand, reach and capture a wildling watchpost. The wildlings are eliminated, save for a single female prisoner captured by Jon Snow, named Ygritte. After Ygritte boasts of their growing army, Corrin orders Jon to execute the prisoner before rejoining the rest of the group. Jon, however, finds himself unable to execute Ygritte. The resulting hesitation allows her to escape. After pursuing her, Jon recaptures Ygritte, but finds himself separated from the main party. With night fast approaching, and refusing to make any fires to allow Ygritte or allow Ygritte to find shelter, Jon forces them to sleep out in the open. Ygritte convinces Jon to at least huddle next to her to share body warmth, at which she begins making sexual advances toward Jon, much to his frustration.
Yeah.
That is probably my favorite part of this entire episode.
It was. I like that.
It was so great.
Because like instantly, once she's doing that, I'm like, I know what she's doing.
Yeah.
Like, I've been there before. That's not fair. She can't do that to him.
Yeah, and he just turned around and was like, oh, God damn it, woman.
it's
just like, well, they're just trying to get comfortable.
Yeah, fucking bullshit. Fucking harpy.
Yeah. Shame Ghost didn't get to do more on the attack, because, like, Rob's direwolf, he gets in the fight. Like, Rob actually has pretty good control over him in, like, tackle terms. Like, with Ghost, he just kind of fucking runs off.
Yeah. Yeah, he seemed like he was kind of scouting out there a little bit.
But he didn't really do anything. He just kind of walked off in the opposite direction, too.
Yeah.
The entire time, Sean was like, hey, Ghost! 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 And then Corrin's just like, oh, shut up. He's not going to come. And actually, that was also great with Corrin's thing, where it was like, where he's talking about, like, how, oh, you can't, like, wild things have their own thing. You can't understand how their mind works. It's like, you can't understand, but I can.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, I kind of like that, just, like, little jabs he was taking to Jon Snow.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so, Jon, and also, so Jon might die in the cold next to a wildling lady.
Who's grinding her ass on his crotch.
Yeah, just getting up in there. Okay, well, so, on to King's Landing? Jax? I'm asking you.
Yeah?
I'm asking you if you want to move on to King's Landing, or if you have anything else you want to say about the wall.
No, that was good.
Okay, so.
There wasn't really much there this episode, but what there was, it was pretty fun.
Yeah, it was fucking hilarious. So, Marcella Baratheon departs for Dorne as part of her arranged marriage to with the Martell family and to keep her safe. Civil unrest in the royal city reaches breaking point. While King Joffrey and his entourage travel through the city, the king is struck in the face with manure hurled by the crowd. Furious, Joffrey orders his guards to kill them all, resulting in a riot where the Lannisters are forced to flee for safety. Tyrion Lannister slaps Joffrey for his foolishness and tries to take control himself, but except for the city watch and the Lannister soldiers, the king's guard refuse to obey him. Several noblemen become trapped outside with the savage mobs and are literally torn to pieces. Also trapped aside, Sansa Stark is nearly raped by several men before being rescued by Sandor Clegane, also known as the Hound. So, my second favorite part of this episode, when that priest gets pulled down by the crowd, his arm literally gets ripped off, and I just throw it like, we fucking got him!
That was fucking creepy to me, man. Like, I was like, oh my god!
Yeah, I know, dude, like, when I saw that, like, I'm a fan of dismemberment. And so seeing group of people literally rip someone to pieces, I would just sit there going, yes! Fucking awesome! We need more of this! Yeah, someone get Joffrey and beat him to death with his own foot.
Oh, God. Joffrey.
Yeah, it's great how Tyrion just manages to... It's great how, like, Tyrion just slaps him upside the face.
Dude, like, yeah, like, everything he was saying to him, I'm like, yes, man, someone, like... Right there, he is being the voice. He has to be the voice of everyone watching the show.
Oh yeah,
I gotta assume everyone hates Joffrey the way we hate Joffrey because we're supposed to. Because
how can you not hate him?
Exactly, yeah. So then you got Tyrion, who's like right there acting as the voice of the viewer, and it was just like, oh yes.
Yeah.
And he smacks him. He's like, I smacked you. And then my hand fall off my wrist.
Yeah, that was so great. It was like, you can't speak to a king that way. Just like, well, no, I struck a king. My hand's still here. Like, you can't step, bitch.
Oh man.
Yeah, and some, yeah, you know, like even after all that, the king's guard is still like, no, we're following this guy.
Yeah.
But, oh, so good.
Yeah. Oh, God.
And, God, Joffrey is a little bitch. I mean, like, one cow pie to the face and kill everyone.
Yeah.
It was actually great, like, the build-up to the riot. Where, like, everyone's, like, saying, oh, praise be King Joffrey. It's like, hey, King Joffrey, yeah, he's all right. We need food. Just like the one or two people in the crowd screaming stuff at any one time. It just leads up from, King Joffrey's awesome, and I want to eat his fucking skull.
Yeah.
So good.
Yeah, shit went south real quick there, and, Sansa Stark almost getting raped, like...
Yeah.
That's kind of a cool scene. Now, I don't mean that it was cool, because she almost got raped.
Yeah.
But,
the aftermath of that, yeah, when the Hound shows up, just like, duh.
Fuck it, he just kills all of them. Like, the one dude's just trying to run away, and he's just like, oh, no. And then, like, cuts his throat.
Yeah, it's like, oh, fuck you, bro. Stab.
Yeah.
And then afterwards, when she's hanging out in her chamber with the little poor lady chambermaid thing, person.
Yeah.
And she... She actually gives us some sage advice. Trust no one.
Yeah.
Which, it's true. No one can be trusted in this fucking show.
Yeah, really, I mean, I want to say Tyrion is probably the only one worthy of being trusted from the Lannister side, but even he, you know,
yeah,
he's got his schemes and plots.
Yeah, he's playing every side.
Yeah.
But yeah, King's Landing, fucking awesome.
Yeah, that was this is the first episode that had Joffrey in it. I think in the last two or three episodes, I think, right? Or
yeah, at least I think so. Like, I think the last time he was in was like episode three or four. Can't remember which one.
I want to say four or five. He wasn't in it at all.
Yeah, like the last one, he forced that hooker to beat the other hooker in the ass with the pointy thing.
Yeah.
You know, just some very Norman Bates shit. No, wait, no, not Norman Bates.
Some masochist shit.
Bateman. Patrick Bateman?
Oh, yeah. Patrick Bateman. Yeah.
Yeah, I forgot his name for a second.
But yeah, having him come back just to get slapped in the face with mud pie or cow shit and get punched in the face. Like, that's win-win, man. That was...
Tyrion knows how to treat a bitch. Yeah, so, on to Harrenhal. So, Lord Tywin Lannister continues to be frustrated by his incompetent war council, but finds himself growing more impressed with his cupbearer, who he is unaware is actually Arya Stark. After discovering her ability to read, Arya and Tywin talk with their fathers, with Tywin holding his responsible for the decline of Lannisters. Meanwhile, Arya is nearly discovered after Peter Baelish unexpectedly arrives at Tywin's chambers for a meeting. Baelish very nearly recognizes her, but is too focused on scheming with Tywin to fully make the realization. Later, Arya is caught stealing a parchment containing war orders by one of Tywin's inner circle, Sir Amory Lorch. Amory Lorch. She manages to escape and seek out the assassin, the man. It's not what it says in the page, but fuck it, that's what we're calling him.
Yeah, I can't read that alphabet soup either.
Yeah, Jacques. Who is still masquerading as a Lannister guard and still owes her two lives in exchange for saving his. Arya begs him to kill Sir Amory before he can alert Tywin, and although the man chafes at being hurried into a killing, he relents and murders Arya with a poisoned dart at the doors on the doorsteps of Tywin's chambers. So this is my third favorite part in this episode.
Yeah, I love this part. I mean, not only the way he was able to get it all done and how it got all done, but like when he's when she's like yelling out like go kill her right now, and he's like, the man must have time to do this or whatever, and she's like, no, he needs it now, he knows who I am, he's gonna go tell on me, basically. And then he kind of gets this kind of like, oh fuck, kind of like, look on his face,
it's like, oh god damn it. Then best part, like, kicks on the door, it's like, what do you want, Lorch? Falls over.
Yeah.
So that awesome.
That was awesome. Yeah, I loved it.
So good.
And yeah. Yeah. Or Tom was. However you want to pronounce either of his names.
I don't. One of them's Jockin.
All right, he's really fastly becoming one of my favorite characters. I really like him.
He's fucking amazing, and I really hope to keep him around after he takes the three lives.
Yeah, I really hope so too. It'd be interesting to see what they can do with him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know how close they are to the books, so I wonder if like maybe other people, you know, might be feeling the same way we are about him and thinking like he's an awesome character. So like if in say in the books after he's done with his three names, he's done and never heard from again, which I kind of highly doubt. But if that is the possibility of what it is, I wonder if they'll like kind of rewrite the story a little bit or something. But again, I in the first place, I don't know how close they are following to the books.
Yeah, I have not touched any of the books, which I kind of want to.
I really want to, but I suck at reading, so I want the audiobooks on iTunes,
yeah.
But they're like $40 a pop.
Or you could get them at audible.com.
Or I could get them at audible.com.
Yes, you can sign up for your free...
through deathdoorprods.com.
Yes, you can sign up for your free 14-day trial and get yourself a free audiobook at audibletrial.com/deathdoorprods.
Son of a bitch. I guess I'm going to have to do that.
Yes. You mean sign up for your free 14-day trial and get a free audiobook through audibletrial.com/deathdoorprods?
Yes.
audibletrial.com/deathdoorprods.
But I believe after your 14-day trial is up, you also get to keep that book.
Yes, you do.
Whoa, that's a steal. It's like I'm stealing from Audible.
Yeah. And they're more than happy to let you do it. So go to audibletrial.com/deathdoorprods. Sign up. So hey, guess what we're brought to you by? Is there anything else you want to say on Aaron Hall?
Well, yeah, a little bit like, la 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 la, who almost discovered her?
Lorch.
Lorch?
Yeah, Sir Amory Lorch.
But what, don't they call him, like, Sticky Fingers or some shit like that?
Oh, wait, that guy, Littlefinger. Littlefinger. Yeah, that's Baelish.
Yeah.
I thought you were talking about the guy who actually, you know, got darted.
Oh, no.
No, so Peter Baelish, a.k.a. Littlefinger.
Yeah. I didn't like that. I didn't like that he was like eyeball fucking her so badly and yet still not able to tell who she was.
I don't think he was like, eyeball fucking her. I think he was like trying to figure out like, hey, I know you from somewhere, don't I?
Yeah, but it just seemed like he was trying too hard to recognize her to not recognize her.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean, he knows who she is and he's a very smart man.
Yeah, that was a bit of some bullshit.
Yeah. I mean, he was just paying way too... I mean, I don't know. Maybe it's just me, but it felt like he was paying way too much attention to her to not figure out by the time he was done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And actually, I just remember something I want to talk about. So, I'm kind of liking the relationship that's developing between Arya and Tywin.
Really?
Yeah, it's interesting. Like, when... Yeah. Like, I remember when, like, she was, like, she brought out the book, she did all the stuff, and then, like, he said put the book away, and she actually was walking away with a bit of a smile on her face, and then as soon as... she's like, Lord Baelish is here, she's like, oh, fuck. But actually showed that she actually, kind of warming up to Tywin Lannister. Which I find kind of interesting.
It is interesting, yeah. It's mainly interesting to me because, like, from the last episode where, He was questioning her about like what rumors she heard about Robb Stark,
mm-hmm.
and she was saying like, oh, they say that he can't be killed, and he says, do you believe that? And she said to him, no, I believe everyone can be killed.
Mm-hmm.
To me, that was kind of like a foreshadowing, maybe, mm-hmm. of some type, and maybe her basically saying that she was planning on killing him.
But his name isn't on her list. I remember a couple of episodes back when she was like going to bed. She was like naming off everyone. She was naming off everyone she wants to die. Tywin wasn't on that list.
Was that before or after he found her, though?
That was before he found her. Like she was like she was in the pit. She was like there sleeping, saying like the hound, like Joffrey, Cersei, the hound, the mountain, the tickler. And then and then Tywin shows up, and we haven't really seen her doing that. But I'm not. But it doesn't look like she was. She added him to her list.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, because that was before she knew who he was, and I don't know. I mean, I guess you know, me thinking that when she said to him, I believe anyone can be killed.
I'm not doubting that it was like saying, hey, guess what? You're probably gonna die.
No. I think maybe I was overlooking the idea of her really understanding who he is.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like, I don't think anything's been said to her. I mean, I'm sure people have referenced him by his name of a Lannister, and obviously he's been talking about this whole war in front of her, so she's not stupid at all. But, like, does she understand? Or, no, she has to, yeah.
She knows Tywin Lannister is the head of the Lannister household.
Yeah, I think I'm confusing myself right now, and I'm going to just stop.
She knows he's the Mac Daddy.
Yeah, but yeah, I agree with you. Yeah, it's very interesting how she's kind of warming up to him and like asking about his father.
Yeah, it's kind of cool. It might at some point lead to a thing between Lannisters and Starks, which they can go horribly, horribly, horribly wrong.
Like he's gonna molest her?
No, like you know, like they try to form some kind of peace. They try to form some kind of peace treaty, and then oh no, one of ours died. War, and then everyone dies.
Yeah.
Yeah, I doubt that Tywin's going to try to fuck Arya.
I sincerely
doubt. And sincerely hope that that doesn't happen.
No. He's not that guy.
Yeah, he's...
The savages that tried raping her sister...
On the other hand.
They would.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so on to Karth. So, Daenerys Targaryen meets the Spice King, one of Karth's ruling 13... And Daenerys' entreaties to the Spice King for ships are rebuffed as he is not moved by her passion alone. Similar meetings with other members of the 13 end in failure. Later, Daenerys and her entourage suddenly discover dead bodies of Karth guards and her own Khalasar strewn across Zaro's mansion. The trail of body leads to her antechamber, where she discovers to horror that her dragons have been stolen and her handmaiden and friend, Eri, murdered. The dragons are then seen being ferried to a tower within Karth by a mysterious hooded figure. Yeah, someone stole her babies.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I really don't like the sound of a dragon crying.
Like, it is kind of annoying.
Like, at the end... No, I mean, like, not just annoying. I really don't like it. Like, I... Like, you know how sometimes in movies you're like a dog, like crying in pain and stuff, like, off camera?
Oh, yeah.
I don't like that the same way I don't like the sound of a dragon crying.
I gotcha. Right on.
Yeah, so Karth is still the least interesting face in this entire show.
Yeah, and I mean, it was a little bit interesting there. It kind of pricked me up a little bit where they walk in and everyone's dead, but...
Yeah, that was like the first bit of like, ooh, something's happening that I felt for Karth.
And it was just too little.
Yeah.
It's just like, come on, like, they show a little bit. That little bit there, it's like, ooh, whoa, what's going to happen here? And then that was it. It's like, oh, fuck.
Yeah, and there's barely any blood.
Yeah.
You know, like, you'd think for a bunch of dead bodies in a show like Game of Thrones, there'd be blood everywhere. Like when she went into her antechamber and saw, like, her friend on the ground dead, you'd expect her to be in, like, a pool of blood, like, almost the size of her.
Yeah, I don't think they're... I mean, that's just standard for movie and television for the most part. I mean, very rarely do you see something... I mean, because... Yeah, to be realistic, if someone's throat is cut, there's a gigantic pool of fucking blood on the ground.
Yeah, like, I didn't even see how her friend got killed. Like, I didn't see any kind of entry wound at all. She was just dead.
Yeah, that one. Yeah, I'm not sure how she was dead. Yeah, I didn't notice any... I didn't see, like, her neck cut like most of the other ones.
There were no wounds, there was no cut. Like, there weren't even, like, bruising on her neck to show that she was strangled or anything. It was just, hey, she's dead.
Yeah, the only thing really is she looked like she had darkness around her eyes or something, like, I don't know, to perhaps show that she was dead for a little bit or something.
Or maybe she was just wearing eyeliner.
No, it wasn't eyeshadow. That kind of... It was kind of like... It looked like bruising, kind of look.
So the guy who killed her gave her two shiners before killing her?
Hey, look, man, she got out alive twice. What do you
mean? Hey, it's one of these days, Alice.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That day came. Twice.
Wow. Okay.
What do you tell a woman that has two black eyes?
What?
Nothing. Someone already told her twice.
That's terrible. Okay, so yeah, so anything else you want to say about this episode?
No. I really, really liked it though.
Yeah, it was really great.
Things are starting to pick up.
Yeah, I hope Ygritte stays around for a while. I like her.
Who?
The wildling lady from Beyond the Wall. With Snow.
Oh, yeah. I guess so.
I like her.
You know, I do this thing of, like... I remember when we were watching The Hurricane.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, Bovee and Digikey were both commenting about how white Denzel Washington's teeth are. And I'm like, well, you can't let that bother you. That's just a little thing. You know, nitpicking that is crazy. But I do the exact same thing when it comes to chicks being hot. And, like, she should be a mess. But she's got kind of like a little hotness going on with her. And it's like, no, come on. She lives out in the wild. She has to have, like, hairy-ass legs and armpits and shit. And, like...
Yeah. Well, you don't see any of that. All you see is her face.
True, but...
So, for all you know, just for starting to take that away, she has, like, back knee, a beard gut, and, like, and more hair on her legs than she has on her head.
Possibly, but I... Come on. That's not... Look at the one chick that fucked Theon, man! I mean, yeah, she's been brought inside, but...
And she was also in Harry Potter.
I said brought inside like she was a dog.
It's like, oh, come on, it is raining out. Let's get you a towel and dry you off.
I mean, I don't know. It's just like any time in like old style movies, you know, or TV shows, you know, like to take place in like ancient times like this or whatever. I can't help but think about like how is those chicks shaving their legs
with magic? they're using the last remaining bones of the dragon to shave their legs. Yeah, that's why all the dragons die out. They wanted to found Gillette.
Yeah, there you go. I don't know. I mean, like, a part of me is bothered by the fact that he was unable to fucking do the deed, but it's Jon Snow. I still love him. And
yeah, he's a great character.
So he can't kill a chick. What are you going to do?
Yeah, I mean, he killed other people. He killed the White Walker.
Yeah, yeah. He kills who's important.
Yeah. Okay, so I guess I'm going to do it for this week. Be sure to join us next week when we talk about Episode 7, A Man Without Honor. So, yeah. Till then, I'm dead.
I'm Shax and hairy legs.
We'll see you guys next time.